seems like none of us are ever getting out of Western Australia ever again.
Well, that's right. You know, they say 24 hours is a long time in politics.
Mm-hmm.
We went to sleep yesterday or last night thinking that Premier Mark McGowan was the biggest rock star politician ever. Turns out he's a dictator worse than Stalin because he wants to close the borders forever.
When we talk about extending the system, it's about extending the checks on the border to prevent the flow of meth and heroin and cocaine into Western Australia from the laboratories in the east. And I think that has worked very, very well, and that's the sort of thing we'll consider in the future.
Okay, so of course we're talking about the stop and search that was very, very useful during these COVID times.
Yeah, of course.
One of the things that's happened with stopping people, making sure that they're allowed to enter the state.
Giving a lot of personal details.
Absolutely, is that there's been apparently quite a lot of drugs stopped on the border, which is no bad thing.
No,
right?
No.
But the thing is that the Premier yesterday was sort of suggesting, and he has since sort of backflipped a little bit, that we might continue this kind of hard border stop and search of people, which does seem fairly un-Australian and a little bit scary.
And risky to say just before the election too, you know, risky times. But also, I've learned a couple of things from this. Number one, didn't know we had heroin and cocaine in Perth. Didn't know that was a thing. And number two, what about small business? My meth production and my meth sales have gone down 40%.
Yeah, come on, McGowan. No, I mean, the thing is that, you know, obviously, I don't know, you've crossed the border before COVID times, Pete.
I've crossed once from the east to the west and then once from the west to the east. And there's not much in the way of, like, at least pre-COVID times, there wasn't much in the way of stop, we're going to search your vehicle. You sort of get to Eucla and there's the WA South Australian border check where they can actually say to you, you know, empty your bins if they want to.
For fruit and whatnot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but yeah. I've never...
Oh, God, don't bring a mandarin in.
Oh, mate. And I've never... like, I've only been there twice. I haven't been as many times as somebody who's, you know, constantly hauling things back and forth. But we certainly never experienced anything like they seem to be doing these days with the border checkpoint. But I suppose, like, it does, you mentioned the fruit thing, right? And I believe Mark McGowan touched on this at some point or another anyway. It does seem interesting that, you know, like, we are quite happy to make sure that there's no fruit or bad vegetables or anything like that that should enter WA. But the second anybody says, oh, we should be extending this and maybe implementing the G2G pass to stop drugs, we're all up in arms. You know what I mean?
I do. I guess it's more of a vibe thing than a reality thing, that we don't want to feel that... We want to feel that we can travel anywhere within our country as Australians and not feel like you have to be stopped and searched. Because this, you know, it is an invasion of privacy. Imagine, you know, you're sitting there with your kids in the back of the car and there's a, you know, an authoritarian figure going through your car and your boot. You know, it doesn't feel right. And it might stop legitimate tourists who are coming here to spend some money when they can coming through. It's like, I don't want to deal with that.
It just seemed a bit nicer when you crossed the border and it was just like an old bloke in dungarees on an old layback chair just waving you through, chewing on a bit of wheat.
And it was Kim Beazley.
This is Pete, Matt and Kimber. Pete, Matt and Kimber.
The documentary Framing Britney Spears went to air last night on Free to Air, and it certainly caught our attention. It has been the talk for a little while, for the last at least month or so, knowing that this documentary at some point was going to come to Australian shores, because we started hearing about it a little while ago, that you could find it on YouTube and had a chance to actually watch it, and the stuff that's coming out of it now is harrowing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people haven't known what the Free Britney Spears campaign has been about. Basically, she is under a conservatorship, which means her father, when they thought that she had mental health issues and was struggling, they got legal control over her. So he controls her finances, her whereabouts, her plans, and she can't be released from that. It's basically the sort of thing you put on an elderly person when they can no longer take care of themselves.
Yes.
And so now everyone's saying, step in and free Britney, because she's got her life back together and she's absolutely trapped by her father.
Yeah, and I guess the documentary really highlights this young girl, young woman, becoming one of the biggest stars on the planet and being torn to pieces at times and ridiculed, and how her mental health clearly disintegrated because of all that attention.
Yeah, and from the early days being very sexualized
yep.
by people in the media, by interviewers, by everybody asking her about her love life and whether she was a virgin, all these sorts of things that are just really inappropriate for a young woman, and exposing her as much as they could, basically at their whim. And even when she went through all of her troubles in 2007, when she shaved her head and
yep.
went through all those difficulties at the petrol station there, they were just taking the piss out of her all of the time.
Name something Britney Spears has lost in the past year. That's with you, Lon. Her husband. Let's see how that stacks up her husband. It's up there, not number one, Lindsay. The hair. Lost a lot of hair.
Just shocking stuff, thinking back on it now. And look, I was certainly guilty of it.
Sure.
You know, looking back at her at that time and going, oh, look at Britney. She's losing her marbles. Hey, have a laugh at this. But now, you know, under the 2021 filter, I guess, looking back on that stuff, I reckon just about every person could probably put their hand up and go, I was guilty of doing the exact same thing. Because they're in that world, aren't they? They're that celebrity. They're chased by the paparazzi and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, humanity goes out the window. And, of course, it does highlight the toxic, seemingly symbiotic relationship between celebrity and the press.
You know, working on her for so many years, she never gave a clue or information to us that I don't appreciate you guys. Leave me the F alone.
What about when she said, leave me alone?
There were times where she's like, can you leave me alone for the day? But it wasn't like, leave me alone forever. You know what I mean?
And, you know, there's that awful scene where she's gone to her ex-husband's place to see her children. Mm-hmm. He won't let her in. And the paps are there, you know, photographing her going, how do you feel? Well, how do you think I feel? I can't see my children.
At a terrible time. Mm. And I suppose the overarching feeling I got from the doco is how much has changed since 2007 in terms of mental health. You know, Britney's behaviour was obviously a cry for help. If a football player did that today, if any of those behaviours were exhibited by a football player, there would be a huge support network stepping in going, something's really wrong. We've got to deal with this. And instead, she was completely ostracised and picked on. And so, you know, in some ways, I'm glad that the mental health conversation is changing.
Yep.
But it really seems like, you know, we've got Justin Timberlake, all these people that were part of her life now coming out and apologising, saying, yeah, we didn't do the right thing.
Sure.
And this goes such a long way back. I mean, when I saw some of the footage that they've had of Britney when, you know, 12 years old Britney was when she was on Star Search,
yep.
did a performance, and Ed McMahon was asking these questions of her.
I noticed last week you had the most adorable, pretty eyes. You have a boyfriend?
No, sir.
Why not?
They're mean.
Boyfriends? You mean all boys are mean? I'm not mean. How about me?
Well, it depends.
I get that a lot.
Can I just say, as a dad with two young daughters, looking back on that now makes me so sick. And I don't think there would be any sort of situation where I could look at that and say, for example, you know, take Britney out and put Mila in or Isabella and quite comfortably stand there and watch that unfold. I'd step in and I'd say, mate, back off. Come on, honey, we're out of here. This is disgusting. But I suppose it's different for me because I'm not a father who's trying to drive my daughter to succeed in the celebrity industry so I can make a whole heap of money out of her, as appears to have been what has come out in recent light with Britney Spears' father. But as a dad, it breaks me. Just relating that back to my own kids to think that's someone's little girl.
Oh, the sexualization of children. And even now, I mean, you see it on the red carpet. You've got women who are established actors, established performers, and they'll still say, oh, who are you wearing? And what are you, you know, you don't ask that of the male tennis players and you don't ask that of, you know, but when it's women, we've been conditioned to do this our whole lives and it's just disgusting. I'm like, something has to change.
Shannon in Hammond Park, good morning to you.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Shannon, what did you think of it?
I'm so sad. I feel so sad for her. I grew up with Britney, but I don't think I was old enough to understand what she went through in 2007. And now being nearly 29, it makes me so sad that one of my idols that I absolutely was inspired by went through all of that and everyone just stood back and pretty much laughed at her.
Yeah, and is still going through it now, and that's why the whole Free Britney campaign is coming from, to try and allow her to get her life back. I suppose it is a bit of a lesson to all of us that it's very easy for people to judge people in the media and in the spotlight and just pick one thing about them and not really understand that there's a person behind that.
We've got John in Averley. Good morning to you, mate. What are your thoughts?
I just want to shed light on what I just heard on the radio about when Britney Spears was like the young girl, where the old man was talking about her, about her boyfriends or something,
yes,
and suggesting himself as one. That is just sick.
Yeah,
I see that as like a predator sort of speaking, which is obviously that person, in my opinion, should have been put to jail straight away for just like thinking that stuff. But I also think that she was, like you said, heavily sexualized in the media and everything like that. But then I thought, today's society is exactly the same with children, you know, still how children are being sexualized via sexual orientation, sexual identity, which is heavily, you know, heavily child abuse, I don't like that. I have a 9-month-old daughter myself, and I know for a fact I wouldn't want my daughter to go through that. And that's really basically all that I have to say about it. Child abuse in my mind, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people think the same way. And people that do that should be put to jail.
I mean, I think in that situation with what Ed McMahon said on that show, what it does highlight is that was a time when that it seemed like that's all you could say to girls, because all girls were people who were waiting to be swept away by Prince Charming and they should have a boyfriend and whatnot.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is that even in that interview, there was a little boy standing next
that's
to her
right,
who
had that's
just
right.
performed, and no question of any no. nature like that was asked.
No, so it was of a time, and he is hoping that time is over.
Pete, Matt and Kimber. Perth's been a bit stormy the last couple of days, hasn't it?
Certainly has.
Oi, oi, oi. It's been a bit full on, and there was some pretty heavy rain coming into my place yesterday, so I quickly ran outside and I put down the awnings to cover the outdoor area there, strapping them in, and there was a few strikes of lightning going on around me, and I thought to myself, this is probably dangerous. Like, there's every possibility that if I'm out here, I might get hit by lightning. And then I thought, surely not.
Yeah, I mean, there's every possibility you won't.
Yeah, I mean, the odds probably aren't great. No. But I was like, what if we just throw it out there, try and get one person. Have you ever been struck by lightning?
This is a little thing we call...
We got one!
Not entirely sure whether or not it will actually happen, because I personally have never heard anybody having been struck by lightning. As in, I've never met somebody
who has. No, I've never met. No, it's on those little Ripley's Believe It or Nots. Where someone gets hit by lightning and, I don't know, they can speak French afterwards or something.
I think we could get someone who has been struck by lightning, because I think this might surprise you. I've got some stats on lightning, guys.
Okay.
Oh, I love stats. Let's go.
Okay. You buy Lotto every week, right, Maddie?
Yes.
The odds of you winning Lotto are 1 in 8,145,060.
I like those odds.
The odds of you being hit by lightning... A 1 in 12,000.
Okay, much better.
Much better odds
much better.
Of being struck by lightning. I can tell you
both
between...
give you Powerballs.
I can tell you that between 5 and 10 deaths occur from lightning in Australia each year.
No way.
And over 100 injuries, although they say that 80 of those are from people using landlines during thunderstorms.
Ah.
Don't get on your landline if you've still got one.
Come on. I was going to say, who's got a landline still?
My folks still
do. Yeah, yeah, plenty of people.
Oh, fair enough. Mm. Okay.
But, you know, you don't get on landline during a thunderstorm. But isn't that incredible? 5 to 10 deaths in Australia each year from lightning, and a 1 in 12,000 chance, I think we might get someone.
Well, you remember last year we had that violent storm that just rushed in,
mm-hmm.
and there was video images of trees being struck, like, right in the middle of Perth.
Yeah.
So it clearly can happen.
Well, yes. Was it the great storm of 2007 as well? I remember I was driving on my way into Mix 94.5, and it was the one with all, you know, that's why we have golf ball cars now with hail damage occasionally.
It was 2010, mate.
Was it 2010? Oh, yeah. Thank you. There you go. In 2010, I remember being on Graham Farmer Freeway in amongst all of it, couldn't see more than a few feet in front of the car, and like lightning bolts dropping and hitting this, you know, around the cars, like right around you, within meters of you.
Wow.
Because well, I remember years ago people saying that you can be struck by lightning more than once, because, you know, say, oh, lightning only strikes once in the same place, like it doesn't strike twice. Yeah, it does.
Does it?
It does.
Yeah, guess what?
We got one!
No.
Well, sort of. Let's find out. Adam in Girraween, good morning.
There you go, mate.
Good. Adam, have you been struck by lightning?
Well, yeah, actually, it's kind of a funny story. So me and my family, we were driving up to Darwin quite a few years ago now. I was only a young lad. And we heard this massive bang. It was like a grenade going off right inside the car. And it turns out lightning had actually struck the roof of the vehicle. And, there was no one got hurt, no one died. So I guess we're not part of a statistic. But yeah. I think as far as I'm concerned, that's pretty far out, really.
So I guess the tyres of the car probably saved you.
Well, that's what we reckon, yeah. I mean, being rubber, you know, it probably was the only thing that saved us from being cooked eggs.
And, mate, was there anything on the roof? I mean, when you stopped and had a look, was there any evidence of the strike on the car?
No, there wasn't, which is even more amazing. You'd expect there to be a big black mark or something like that. But, it did a little bit of damage to the electrics of the car. That's about it, really. There wasn't any major damage to the vehicle. It was just a huge bang, like a massive bomb going off.
Mm. Right. Well, you paid the extra $450 to get the metallic paint.
Michelle and Iluka, good morning to you. This is about your friend.
Yeah, we were water skiing in South Africa, where you get quite big electric storms in the afternoon.
Yep.
And we could see a storm coming across, so we got out the boat. We were taking down the awning. We were holding onto the poles to take down the awning because it was also blowing a lot of wind. And my friend, she had an underwire bather on, and the lightning hit that and burned it a bit, so she's got terribly burnt under there. And then it came out, it went through her body and came out of her heel. She was then obviously not around, and her husband, who could do, did CPR immediately. And that saved her life.
Oh my! So she died. She had went into cardiac arrest.
She went into cardiac arrest. Yeah, oh, and then he managed to do CPR and got everything. And then, we were out in the sticks really. And then by the time everybody got there, she was okay again. But she's obviously was left burnt and quite badly scarred.
Wow. How terrifying, Michelle! Did that affect her later in life? I mean, we're just thinking, if you get struck by lightning and that goes through your body, surely that's doing something to your organs.
She's probably mid-50s, and she's as good as gold now. She's still fine. So I don't know. It didn't seem to do anything to her organs.
Wow.
Wow.
Incredible.
Left her a bit burnt, yeah.
Incredible.
Thanks for the story, Michelle. Lynn in Mindari, you've been struck.
Yep, correct. Morning.
Lynn, we're fascinated by this because, you know, the boys said to me this morning, no one's going to call if you throw this out there, but you've been struck by lightning. What happened?
Yeah, so again, it must be South African thing. we lived on a small holding, and a lot of homes in South Africa are made with like a grass roof, which is called thatch.
Uh-huh.
So our neighbour in front of us had a lightning detector, which is like a long pole. And the lightning hit there. It came through our house. We were all sitting on the couch, and it literally picked us up and threw us across the room. And went out the back door, hit the other house behind us, and actually blew it up. It caught on fire.
Wow. Okay, so what was the effect for all of you? You've been thrown across the room from the jolt.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, at first we just lay there wondering what had gone on.
Mm.
And then finally, when we were able to actually get up, the pain in our body was unbelievable. We could hardly walk for days. Especially your chest.
And when
unbelievable.
And so when you say it travelled, like clearly it's looking for somewhere to earth, and that's why it went through your house and went to the next place where the lightning rod was, yeah?
Correct, yeah. I'm just glad we had front and back doors open at the time. Otherwise, it probably would have been our house.
Wow.
Far out, then. That is extraordinary.
Oh, my goodness. These are amazing stories.
Cancelled that trip to Joburg.
Matt and Kimber. Now, guys, Phil is still in here.
He is.
Phil, the Fijian tiki mask.
We love you, Phil.
You brought all the way back from Fiji many years ago, and your wife, Liz, says, get rid of it, Pete.
Yes, it's time for Phil to go.
It's beautiful, man.
It is a beautiful mask. It is, but it's a scary mask.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. And that's the idea behind it. The idea behind it is, obviously, it is that scary to ward off bad spirits in the house. Now,
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Actually, it's funny that you say that, Matt, because we haven't had one since we've moved in.
There you go. It's working.
So, there you go. Now, yesterday, around about this time, I brought it in. And I was speaking to you guys about it and the fact that it's time for Phil to go. And we did sort of float the idea as to whether or not, it might be kind of cool to see if we could trade Phil up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you still love it. You were like, I don't know if I want to give it away, but Liz says so. And like, it's worth something. So let's trade.
Right. The other thing that sort of crossed our minds at some point yesterday afternoon was, also, it's a Fijian tiki mask.
Yes.
So are we sort of messing around with some sort of crazy voodoo or something
boogly.
That by doing something? Mm. Is there a special way we should be moving it on just to satisfy the spirit inside this wood?
Yes.
Yep. Now, I was committed to handing this over to Stewie, who rang through yesterday with this offer.
The HW for the XB Falcon. It only comes in yellow.
Yeah, it's got the black racing stripe. It's got the nice big mag wheels. It's got the spoiler on the back of it.
It actually needs a good home to go to.
Right.
Why don't we put that on the table and see if anyone else comes up with anything else? You know, like,
oh, yeah.
Put it out there.
I think that's a great
idea.
This is
like trading up from the paperclip.
Yeah.
I have to pull away from this.
Okay.
Why?
Because
we haven't even given it a chance.
Now, some crazy stuff has been happening at home in the last 24 hours.
Really?
Since Phil came into the studio.
Yes. Since Phil was of the understanding, and he was in the studio yesterday, so he heard everything.
Yes.
That's true.
Now, this all started yesterday, but I've only started really putting two and two together because I've rocked up this morning. I've said to you guys, because we were all prepared. Like at 8:40 this morning, we were going to go and
put
go,
it out there.
Yep, Stewie, we'll do the trade. And then, all right, let's see if we can trade up with the XB Falcon and see where we can go from there.
Yep.
I walked in this morning and I said, you got to pull that phoner out. We can't do that thing after 8:30.
What happened at your house?
Don't tell me a Jehovah's Witness walked in.
Not quite, no. Yesterday morning, I was at the gym. Now, this is the first time that I have taken Phil out of the house.
Yeah, because he was still in the boot of your car at that point.
Right. Now, I have had a very good gym regime with uninterrupted, unimpeded gym work for about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the day that I take Phil out of the house, my shoulder blows out.
Oh. Okay.
Now, you guys know I've got the strapping tape. I had to go and see a physio yesterday.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a little bit of a coincidence in itself, which I didn't really think about at the time. You could write that one off. You could absolutely write that one off, right? Except for the fact that when I was at home last night, I was in the back room where Phil generally resides.
Okay.
Right. And one of the, we keep a heap of puzzles and stuff up in the top of the wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've had those up there for 2 years, haven't been touched. And one of them decided to fall down from the top of the wardrobe.
Oh.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Right. So I sort of looked.
Scrabble and it's spelt out, don't do this.
Then to top it off, the light globe blew in that room as well.
Right.
Now, I only changed that light globe last week.
Right, okay.
So that light globe is a perfectly good light globe.
Yes.
Mm, or shoddy workmanship.
No. Good light globe. I know how to change a light globe. So I'm not prepared to give Phil up because there are a few things that are starting to happen around the house now I'm starting to go, maybe we're mucking around with like spiritual things that we shouldn't be touching.
And also, we looked Phil up yesterday to see what kind of things they can bring to your home. And not only does it ward off evil spirits, but it also says it brings great fertility. And as you have two girls and another child on the way, we thought he's done good things by you.
Yes, if only that what was happening to your light globe was happening to your vas deferens.